this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
God has really been speaking to me a lot about exactly what Henny said. Am I willing to truly lay down myself and give myself into God's hand? Don't you love that photo? That's my niece at our wedding. Just such a beautiful picture of almost running into the inner room. You know, there's something of a child that runs towards what they're longing for and what their need is inside. I've titled the sermon Beautiful Gate. I'm not too sure why yet. It came to me, I think I was lying in bed with Stefan last night going, what do you think about this title? What do you think about that title? And I was like, no, God, you just going to let it go. Yeah, and the sermon was perfectly laid out. And he was just saying to me, Lauren, it's basically keys that you're giving people today to enter in. And what God has been challenging me on is saying, Lauren, are you truly surrendered? You know, you're good at that place of meeting the spiritual need. When there's a demon, I'm there. You know, I'm happy to pray for bondage. When there's emotional brokenness, I'm happy to pray. But he's saying to me, are you there to meet the practical need? What if there's a practical need? What are you? And there's something about Jesus that I've just been pondering on where he met the emotional, spiritual, and practical needs. It wasn't about I'm choosing which need I'm going to meet. It was this thing of I'm laying myself before you. I'm giving my everything. And what is required in that moment, God, I will receive what I need in order to give. And another thing is I'm saying, God, physical healing freaked me out. I'm like, I will pray for anything but physical healing. And God's saying, but are you truly representing me then? You know, are you not controlling in which area you want to give? And I do understand some of us have got specific anointings to pray for healing. But God is challenging me to say, Lauren, I want you to see the miracles. I want you to see the power that I've given you to be able to, in every day, see those miracles. And God's been, I had a very nice corporate job for 7-8 years, earning good money, and I've had this call for 10 or 11 years into ministry. And the funny thing is, I always used to say to God, you know, I don't see myself working for the church. So how's this going to work? And since getting married, God is towards, some of, I might have shared with some of you, but towards the end of last year, God's saying, it's time. And I'm kicking, you know, and he's saying, it's time. And a lot of people have said to me, you know, that they've said, I'm like this one and I'm like that one and whatever. And I've actually, for the first time, went to go and sit with God and listen and say, what is it? What is ministry? Because he's saying to me, I want you to go into ministry, but if it's not, we see ministry as a full-time job in the church. Some of us do. I used to see it like that. But it can't be because there's ministry of defense, ministry of education. So what is ministry? Ministry is the service, duties, or profession of something. So the profession is a professional job. I see it like that. So that's the full-time. But the service and duties is all of us. We're all in the ministry. We're all in the service and the duty of Jesus. And so I'm going, okay, cool, God. I can do that. Like, I can be in the service and ministry of Jesus. But what does that mean? And yeah, and he's just given me some key principles that I want to share with you is, it's principles. It's not a method, but it's principles to see the miraculous. I don't know how you guys have been feeling, but I've got this burning desire within me to see miracles. I'm like, God, I want to pray and I want to see change. I want to see people around me experience Jesus. And so I went. I've been speaking to Henny about this, and he sent me a definition of ministry in terms of ministry of Jesus. So ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Okay? I had to ponder that one a little bit. You know? Chew on that. I'm going to give you some time to write it down if you want. Ministry takes place when divine resources, okay, supernatural resources meet human needs through a loving channel, which is us, to the glory of God. And as we went on a family mission to Malawi, and just in that week preparing in June, God gave me the following scripture. And I've been pondering this scripture, and it's just amazing that when Henny sent me this section, it was exactly the same scripture. And I was like, okay, thank you, God. You know, that confirmation is so essential. Okay, so today in the story that I'm going to be reading from and just preaching from is Acts 3, verse 1 to 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the beautiful gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. So this lame guy was expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Divine resources, but what I have, I give you. Okay, so we're going to talk about what is it that Peter had. It wasn't gold and silver. It was what I have, I give to you. He saw the need, okay? It was a human need. But we're also going to talk about that later. Do we really wait on God to see what is the true need in front of us? And then a loving channel, he stopped. He looked at the guy. He gave compassion. He directed his gaze at him. And to the glory of God, where people were filled with wonder and amazement, there was a testimony of this miracle. So we need to first look, because I think a lot of us put miracles in a certain category, okay? I don't know if you can agree with me, anyone. You know, I'm not the one that does miracles. It's the pastor, it's the Heidi Baker, the Bethel, the this or that. And God is like, no, Lauren. The principles, if you establish these principles and you live out of these principles, the miracles will flow. We need to realize that this miracle was done by Peter, okay? Let's look at the background of Peter a bit. It starts off when Jesus first called Peter, Luke 5. He says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret. Anyone know that way? That place near Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Does that sound familiar? God, I've tried that before. Didn't work. But I'll be obedient. Very normal guy. I think a lot of us can relate to that. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish. I think all of us, there's so much sin in our lives. We can't possibly be seeing the miracles and the power of God because we need to sort ourselves out first. Peter denied Jesus three times. While Jesus went into the garden to go and pray, he says to him specifically, your flesh is weak. Even though your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak. Be alert. And he comes back and they're sleeping. Okay. How many of us sometimes feel like slumber comes over us? We're tired. Okay. Jesus was arrested. Peter followed Jesus, but he kept his distance. He was scared of being persecuted with Jesus. Some of us, we feel we're scared of being persecuted. And then lastly, the servant girls of the high priest came to him and said, you were also with Jesus. And he's like, I neither know or understand what you are saying. Who are you? Get away from me. You know. And I think, you know, Peter was so normal. He was actually such a sinner. Like, he denied Jesus. He saw the miracles. And that is where, who we are. We allow the flesh to take over. But God still chose to use Peter. And later on, we're going to talk about it, but it was in that early church where Peter did this miracle and thousands came to salvation. Okay, so what I want to say today is, don't exclude yourself from these principles in establishing them because you feel normal, or you've got sin in your life, or you feel like you deny Jesus, or you need to first do things. Because God, that's the grace. That's the grace of Jesus that he gives to us. So, the first question I'm going to ask, from which position do we minister or give of ourselves? Okay, there are three sections under this question. And I think this is, these principles we need to understand. We need to firstly give of ourselves and minister to people from the secret place. And just going back to that scripture in Acts, okay, I don't want us to look at just lame, physically lame people. We have spiritually lame people around us. We sometimes feel lame ourselves, okay? Not lame like you know, I'm so lame. Oh, you know, well, sometimes I am lame. Like, I like a good corny joke, okay? But it's the lame that need a touch from God. And I think they are all around us. There are people everywhere. Our family members. And so what God is saying to me, he said, Lauren, you know, if you operate from the secret place, and looking there at Acts 4, 13 to 14. Now, when they saw, okay, so quickly, they do this miracle, and they're going to the inner court. This guy is like running and jumping, and, you know, everyone's looking at him going, this is the lame guy, okay, that was at the gate beautiful every day. So they can't deny that a miracle has taken place. And the Sanhedrin then arrests them, and they're saying, you cannot preach in the name of Jesus. But they cannot deny what has happened. So something is going on here, okay? And then they look, and they say, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, okay? Another version says ordinary, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So they actually walked with Jesus. Peter, from Jesus, while he was on earth, they walked with him. They saw the miracles. They received that impartation of his heart. But that's why, and for us, there's that place of the secret place where Jesus left so the Holy Spirit can come. And the Holy Spirit always points towards Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will point towards the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. What is the need? What is it it's something of that union that takes place. And I'm not talking about quiet time. Because I think God was saying to me, there are too many people that are struggling with their quiet time. And God is saying, that is a lie. There's accusation. The enemy is keeping you in strife. The secret place is an intimate place within us and God. It's a place where we open ourselves up daily to hear from him. It's in the car. It's just that union that we have with him. And if you are not experiencing the presence of God, then God today wants to come and break down that wall. He said he wants people to come forward. He wants you to experience the intimacy that there is. And what happens when Stefan and I in marriage spend that time together, even intimately, like, I take on certain characters. Like, I understand what his heart is. Like, I get to see what the need is. And there's that place where we actually rest in him. So going out and seeing miracles and seeing the power of God and imparting the presence of God into people should be done out of a place of rest. It's not out of performance and striving. And where do we rest the most is when we are in the secret place. I don't know if you could agree with me. Are you guys with me? Are you listening? It's that place where we remain in him. And as we remain in him, our heart's desires are exposed. Our motives are exposed. And we actually come to the reality of what do we truly want. We want God to be glorified. We want everything that our hand touches. We want the people around us. We want Jesus because there's nothing that compares to that. We can do a whole lot of things and we can be successful in business and have the most amazing wife and husband and children and everything like that. But that place where we take on Jesus, we see lives changing around us. We see people coming to salvation. Nothing compares to that. Yeah, and then another scripture God laid on my heart was just John 15:5-7. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And I just went to go look, abide. I always used to think, well, abide in me is stay with me, like abode. You know, this is my abode, my home. We can't wait to have people around for brides at our new home. But that abide is the definition, comply with. Okay, think of Jesus saying, abide in me. Comply with, obey, observe from him. Follow, keep to, hold to, conform to, stand by, act in accordance with, pay attention to, accept, acknowledge, respect. That is like a totally new invitation to abiding in Jesus. You know, and God is not wanting us to go and tick, well, I do that one and I do that one and I do. It's a place where he's going, there's more to just staying with me and doing your 5 cents worth. And the other thing that happens when we minister to people from a secret place is we actually get to listen to God. Now, what's been happening is as I said, the corporate world, I was there for a long time. Since I've got married, God has been saying to me, he wants me to go into ministry, and at least until the end of August, just sit and listen. Do you know how difficult that can be? With someone that was working 12 hours a day, and it's not, like Henny said, God doesn't talk all the time, but my ears are open to listen. I stop, I have the time to stop and listen. And I believe God is saying, those that are still in corporate for 12 hours a day, there is grace for you to also stop and listen. It doesn't mean that we all need to now sell our everything and go into ministry and that type of thing. It's the principle of stopping and listening. And what happened to me was, I said, fine. I'm like, God, here I am. Everything, whatever. I want to see, serve the needs. And you realize actually how much miffness is in your heart because you choose and pick what you want to do for him. But I sat there one day and Stefan was going to work. Flourishing, amazing job, telling me of all these stories, da, 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 and I'm like, meh, meh. Like, I was actually jealous. I was jealous. I mean, God had to come and just put me into a place where he's like, I want you to serve your husband. I want you to understand this is his time to flourish. And that doesn't mean it's not going to be for a long period. I know God has said it's not going to be for a long time. But let's establish something now while we can. And yeah, and I was like, okay, but I'm a little bit of a pain with God. I'm like, God, then you need to confirm that this is definitely from you. Because if it's from you, then there's purpose in it. So anyway, so I'm sitting that Saturday morning and I'm having quiet time and I'm just like broken inside because I just want to go and do stuff. And I need to sit and wait. And I used to fear that. I used to fear, no, then you know, God's like, this is from me, Lauren. Just wait. And as I'm sitting there, he says to me, you are going to help look after Lara, Izan's little girl, during this month. I'm like, what? Really? Like, but there's no need. Like, God, I know she's sorted. You know, she goes to school and all that. God, if that's from you, I'm willing. You said to me, serve the practical need. And that's a practical need, to help out with babysitting. So I go to a kid's party 2 hours later. It's the first time I see Izan since I've come to Joburg. And we chat a bit, and I say, I'm not working until the end of August. She turns to me, she says, please will you help me look after Lara on the 12th and the 14th? And I'm like, God told me that this morning. You know, and it's just, why? Like, he didn't have to do that. But I told Stefan, why did God do that? And he's like, because you like purpose, Lauren. Now there's purpose in you looking after Lara. So little Lara is going to have so much fun. I'm most probably going to get her to stop praying in tongues or something. Or we're just going to have fun. You know, that's also fine. But it's just that thing of, it's in the secret place. It's that place when we're quiet with God that we can actually start listening to what the need is. Because often someone will come to us and they'll say, I've got neck pain. Can you pray for healing? Okay, so let's pray for healing. Do you want to talk to me about the anxiety? And then something else completely happens there. And the presence of God comes and they get delivered and the anxiety, the neck pain is just a fruit of the anxiety. And it's just that thing of, are we stopping to listening to God so that we can be Jesus around to the people around us versus trying to do things? It's that small thing, you know, it's that small thing of, sure, this person really needs a meal. Or whatever it might be. I don't want to put something to it. The other thing is, when we, and from the secret place, we see the need, okay? We get to learn the heart of Jesus. And that was something about Peter was, he says, the guy was begging, okay? So he's going, he's thinking his need is gold and silver. And Peter says, gold and silver I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He needed healing so that he can sustain himself, so that he can get a job. And later on, he received Jesus. He needed Jesus. How quickly do we do need to give money as well. But what I'm trying to say is, let's look past sometimes what we think the need is. Okay, and then just from other thing, from the secret place, we get to take the heart of God, going back to that ministry definition, through a loving channel, a divine resource for the human need through a loving channel. We take on the heart of God so we can actually have compassion on people. Our hearts have grown so numb to the needs that are around us. And that doesn't mean we have to meet every need. It's what is our heart stirred for and what is that need we need to meet. Okay, next thing. Okay, the implication of this is that God wants us to not strive in his presence to make things happen, to make ministry happen. He wants us to listen and he wants us to awaken a passion within our hearts for the needs of the people that are in front of us. Next thing, we give from a royal identity. Funny, this is Peter. Same Peter we've been talking about, who told Jesus, depart from me because I'm a sinner. That unworthy thing that keeps us from ministering to people. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And together with the scripture in Romans 8, where he says, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And we are joint heirs with Christ. And an heir, defined, is a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. So we are joint heirs with Christ. And the death that has taken place is Jesus on the cross. That means that we are legally entitled to the kingdom resources. If you think of Kate and William, it's quite funny. I used to have this obsession with Kate. It's quite funny. I can't believe I'm confessing this right now. But Stefan, I'd see Hello Magazine and I'm like, God, I see what's going on. And I realized it was a season thing. Maybe it's not, but God stirring up to say, she's got the title in this world, but you have that title of royalty, Lauren. You have the same title of royalty. Each one of us has that title of royalty. Jesus is the king. We are not kings and queens, but we are a part of a royal priesthood, which means there is endless resources. We don't need to pick and choose. You get this, you get that. There is an abundance of resources, even financially, time, prayer, power of God, the Spirit of God. There is enough of everything. But we need to understand, as we are adopted into God, and you can go back to that sermon I preached last year about that spirit of adoption, hide and seek. So I'm not going too much into that, but we need to understand that we're not give. Do you understand the thing of royalty? It's that thing of there's a mandate that we have to go and distribute that which God has given us so freely. Last week when Peter shared the offering, I was broken. I mean, I don't know if you heard me crying, but I was just like crying like a baby, because it was that thing of, he said, how does this child know that everything in the house is for their use? There's no difference between my own blood children and this child. And it's that thing where he said, but it's when you spend time with that person. God is waiting to spend time with us, for us to have that revelation of, Lauren, don't lack, don't fear a lack, because the resources are endless. Yeah, and then I just want to read something that is stated in Warren Wiersbe's book. It's something about being a slave for God. I mean, a servant for God. Once you accept yourself as a distributor of God's riches and not a manufacturer, you will experience a wonderful new freedom and joy in service. You won't be afraid of new challenges because you know God has the resources to meet them. You won't be frustrated trying to manufacture everything that is needed to get the job done. And when God blesses your work, you won't be tempted to take the credit. And I want to say, I've seen this thing happen in the workplace with ideas, with business, with clients resources of insight into situations that my colleagues were like, but how and where? Like opportunities to create new contracts with people. God would give his resources to me. That ministry outflow is that thing of seeing the power of God. Okay, and then lastly, from which position do we give? So the first one was from that secret place, from an intimate place with God, from an identity of royalty, and lastly, from the position of delegated authority or in the name of Jesus. In summary, it says, when Peter now does this miracle, and everyone's like, whoa, they're praising Peter, you know, and John that they did this miracle. And he challenges, you know, he says to them, okay, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, what does that word mean? We have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered. And then he carries on. He says, in his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So it's in the name of Jesus that this miracle takes place. It's not based on themselves. And I mean, no better person to do a sermon on in the name of Jesus was Henny, and he did it on the 6th of July. So if you weren't here, I want to encourage you to go and listen to that sermon of what does it mean to minister and to give of ourselves in the name of Jesus. So let's turn to our person next to us and say, we are royalty and have endless resources in the name of Jesus from a secret place. The second topic I'm going to, it's quite a harsh, sort of like, you know, one of those. So know that I'm still working through a lot of this stuff, but I want to see what hinders us from ministering, okay? What hinders us or holds us back from giving from ourselves, okay, to see the power of God through us. And the first one there, so this is now 2A, okay? For those that know, this is 2A, okay? We went to Heidi Baker last night, and I'll tell you something about her later, but she is all over the place. I mean, she's sharing amazing stuff and whatever, but there's no structure. And she's like, this is 5C, you know? Anyway, but this is 2A, really, okay, is a poverty mentality. Okay, so what lacks us from ministering to people is a poverty mentality. And the scripture there, Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And I just realized that this is not just about materialism. It's not just about money. It's about a poverty mentality because you feel like you're going to lack. And it's exactly what Henny said, okay? He didn't know my sermon. It's that thing of, if I give of myself now, of my time, okay? I used to, Stefan, since I've been married to him, I'm like, I 8 hours sleep. You don't want to be around me if I don't. God's like, really? Come and start practicing for the children that are going to come, okay? And let's just sleep when you need to sleep and wake up when you need. But it's like, it's my right to get 8 hours sleep. So sometimes, and I'm exaggerating this point, but sometimes we'll go to friend's house and God lays on your heart to wash the dishes, but it's already 10 o'clock at night and you're like, no, I want to go get my sleep. But by blessing that person, they see something of Jesus. And I think sometimes what happens with this is we put ourselves in boxes. We say, well, Maria will serve. Don't worry. She's the serving one. No. We will lack nothing if we give of ourselves because the resources are endless. And what happens is it's that entitlement mentality. And we think poverty and we think amount of money. I grew up, we sometimes wondered where the food was going to come, but my mom, as a single mom, gave everything. We never lacked anything. But the enemy was like, well, look at that family. You got one Easter egg. They got a whole box of Easter eggs. And I actually needed, in this Malawi trip, 2-3 weeks ago, God was saying, like, I would say to Stefan, I want an avo. Okay, we're going into Malawi and everyone's having a salad and I want an avo. It's not, love, please can I have an avo. I'm entitled to an avo, okay, because it only costs this amount of money. And And he actually says he feels like he can't give me this thing because I've already decided upon myself that this is what I'm going to get. And it sounds hectic. Like I sound, if you know me, that's not, it's not the way I am. But it's such a subtle, subtle thing within us, this entitlement. And it's that thing of Jesus in Matthew 20 to 28, where he talks about the greatness of serving. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus had all the resources. He didn't go, I'm entitled to spend this money and on myself. And he's like, I'm laying it down. And I know some people are freaking out because, you know, you're feeling guilty because you've got a nice car and a big house. That is from God as well. It's the principle that is the problem here. Because the easier we are to give. And it's that thing of, I mean, even for Stefan and myself, while we were packing up our boxes, we've moved now into Joburg, and I've already cut out. I mean, I've given away stuff like there's no tomorrow. Because God, at our wedding, challenged me on this. But now we get to Joburg, and I unpack, and I'm like, I have 3 sugar bowls. No, but what if one day, when I have a big house, I'm going to need 3 sugar bowls? I don't need 3 sugar bowls. Do you understand the principle behind it? It's that thing of I'm gathering up, I'm storing up my treasures here on earth. I promise you, there's so much freedom in actually just going to look and go, what don't I need? And it's that thing of, yeah, I'll get to that later, but we're excited about this thing. Because once we let go of this, I promise you, there is an endless amount that God wants to give us. Okay, the second thing, what hinders us from ministering is doubt and fear. We're scared. What if we pray for this person and it's not going to happen? That's okay. You look a little bit like a foolish person. That's it. But God has brought me to a place where he's like, Lauren, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't try and control the work of my spirit. If you pray, let it be. And it's amazing. God is really... I used to pray for deliverance quite a lot. I used to see a girl once a week. So deliverance is something a lot of people are a bit spooky about, but God really has set me free of a lot of bondage. And in the beginning, I used to be like, what if they see me in church and it's not done? What if, you know, they're still struggling with the same thing? Or what if they say nothing has changed? And God, is that going to stop you? Because it's that thing of you trying to control the outcome, Lauren. And that's where the fear and the doubt is happening. Versus, I'm going to be a child. I'm going to boldly give of myself. And whatever comes after that, that's God's reward. Last thing is the flesh. Okay, this one, the scripture's hectic. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Does that ring a bell with someone? You want to do something. You want to respond to the voice of God. But your flesh is dominating. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilers, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I look at that and I'm like, no adultery, no sorcery, no hate. Blah, blah, blah. But 3 stand out for me. Idolatry, jealousies, and selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions. What do I gain out of giving? Yes, it's true. God will give back to us. But will you only minister in an area that you know change is going to take place? Because I'm good at praying for deliverance for people. Versus... the need is someone in front of me is sitting with a bowel, stomach problem, and I'm going to pray for them. Or that selfish ambition of, well, you know, now I'm looking after Laura on a Tuesday and Thursday, and there's so many other things I need to do. Like, that does not compare. Looking after her for those 2 days. Anything that I need to do for self can come later. It's my joy to serve in that area. And it's that thing of, idolatry. Idolatry distracts us from seeing the need that is in front of us. Okay, so idolatry is what is in front of me. I am building and I'm working towards this thing. When I get married one day, then I will start serving Jesus. In the fullness of capacity, I'll lay down my life. A week before we got engaged, God came and he said, will you serve me fully? Will you give everything to me. We can't wait. That idolatry thing. God, we need to remove those idols from our lives so our eyes are open to actually see what is the need. What is the power of God that needs to be established in front of us? And strife. Okay, sorry, strife is here somewhere as well. But strife, performance kills the spirit. Okay, so that's a thing of the flesh. I'm sorry if it's a bit heavy, but it's the reality of, you know, of what happens that keeps us from seeing the power of God and seeing miracles happen in our lives. I've been so convicted of this stuff. So, yeah, we started with, from what position do we give? We give from a secret place, from royalty, and from in the name of Jesus, delegated authority. What hinders us? That poverty mentality, the fear and doubt and control. And the third thing is the flesh. But now we end with a joyful, what do we have to give? Okay. Who's excited to hear? What do we have to give? Peter said when he saw that guy at the gate beautiful, it says they directed their attention to him. They said, look at us. We have the simplicity. Doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account, what your status is. You have time to give people. Okay. You have that moment of stopping for the person that is in front of you and actually giving their attention. There's something so spiritual about that because we live in a rushed world. Like, one day I'll stop. But it means so much to me when someone stops and actually asks me in the workplace. So you spoke the other day of this and this and this. How is that going? Then secondly, what we have to give is the gold and silver. It wasn't that Peter didn't have gold and silver at all. He just didn't have on him at that time. So Acts happens. The Holy Spirit gets poured out. There is massive revival that's taking place, but I believe one of the elements that were crucial in that time for God to pour out his spirit was, he says in Acts 2, 44 and 45, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, Henny, the water's not mine. We have it in common. You can drink it. Now, I know some of you are freaking out. It's not that God is saying, let's all sell everything. Yes, it's a position of our hearts. Are we willing to bring what we don't need to the table so that those that do need, we can give to them? So I'm going to bring my box, and I've got loads of stuff in that box. I mean, there's a really nice black Aldo handbag that I used twice that cost a lot of money, but I have three black handbags. So, next week, whoever needs a black handbag, come, first serve. But it's that thing of the need versus the want. Who needs something? And sometimes it is a financial need. And God has blessed so many guys in our church for great business ideas, for great things. But instead of doing a nice, okay, I don't want to, I'm very sensitive with this topic, but giving out of a place of compulsion, why don't we stop and listen and go, what is the miracle that someone needs? Supernaturally, God, come and show me. I promise you, God will show you. He will lay someone on your heart. And then are you willing to give? You don't know whether they need that money or not. But then you go and find the bank details. You don't make a big hoo-ha of it. But there's a practical need in that situation. It was exactly with the bread and the fish. Jesus served that practical need. And sometimes that practical need is finances. But I want to ask and I want us to invite the Holy Spirit to start showing us what are those practical needs. Because what happens now is with this practical need with Izan and myself, I have got purpose in it. Okay. I'm excited. I mean, she is the most gorgeous child ever. Friendly, loving, throws a ball at me and I'm just practicing for our many children that we're going to have. And what happens to Izan? Izan has a revelation that God has already provided for her need. Do you see? Whereas I might not have listened to God. We sat there on the day and she randomly just says she needs someone to look after her, and I'm like, sure, I'll look after her. The need would have still been met. But there's something about the supernatural thing that we listen to God and we impart, we are Jesus to those people around us. Okay. The third thing, and this is my second last point. Okay. Sorry. The scripture quickly. How cool is the scripture? And God is able to make all a great grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So he's saying for every good work that you need to do, whether it's financially, whether it's a matter of praying for people, your time, there is an abundance for the good work that needs to be done. Okay, my heart is burning within me. And I think that's why I used these slides last time. And I was trying to find slides. I was just like, you know, I was looking here and there and everywhere. And then I just went back and I was like, that's a burning heart. And I realized there's a burning within me for more of the Spirit, for that fire of God that comes. And he pours out compassion and passion in our hearts to see the kingdom come. I actually want to quickly go back to that, you know, because we've got lots of practical examples, but going back to that, what hinders us, God reminded me of that now, is that poverty mentality that we fear we lack, therefore we are entitled, is we were on this mission in Malawi, and God had really challenged Stefan and myself to just serve the family, like to love them, support them, and serve them. And a situation happened where one of the close family members, God was really working with her. And I could see it was a deliverance situation. God was wanting to set her free from things that were keeping her bound. And the problem was that she, or should I not say she, but those other things knew that God had given me the key to set her free. So she avoided me for 4 or 5 days. Okay. It's my first time I'm on a holiday mission with my new family. And I'm going, I'm entitled to be unconditionally accepted in this family and loved. That's the subtle thought that is in the back. And God's like, can you see her brokenness? Can you see that she is struggling? I want you to pray for her. I want you to love her. I want you to just show her that there is just unconditional love. And it took 4 or 5 days, and we had the most amazing, powerful experience in that car, driving back from Malawi, Stefan and myself and her. And God did a miracle there. And I think if I had listened to that entitlement thing of what I need, I could have shown her hardness of heart. She wouldn't have opened up to me. But it's just that thing of seeing the need. So I just wanted to share that story. Okay, so going back to what do we have to give? Peter says, what I have, I give to you. He gave the presence of God. We are conduits of the presence of God. What is the presence of God? The presence of God is the Spirit of God. And in Acts 2, just before that, it talks about how they were sitting in the inner room and the fire fell on them and they received the Spirit of God. And that is what Peter was saying. He was saying, gold and silver I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. So we have the Spirit of God to give. Well, people need to receive the Spirit of God. What I'm trying to say, an encounter with God. So in our presence, people have the ability to experience the presence of God. And I love what Heidi Baker says. Okay, there she says, I have a confession to make. I have no idea. Okay, so backtrack. I'm reading, you know, Heidi Baker, she's got a ministry in Mozambique. God is really using her powerfully. She went through 20 or 30 years of just trials and tribulations and preparation. But I'm reading her book, Birthing the Miraculous. And I mean, every chapter, I'm just going, I can so relate. I know what you're talking about. You know, this is like amazing. And so God always tests me. Like before I'm going to preach a sermon or whatever, he's just checking. Because what did I say in the beginning of the sermon? Principles, not methods. Okay. To see the miraculous, to see things happen. So I had burning desire. Heidi Baker was in Joburg last night, and I'm going, and I'm so excited. But something in me wants to sort of get a method, you know, or to go, how does she do it? What is, and can I relate to her? Am I a little bit like her? Because God, I want you to use me as powerfully as you use her. And we got there last night, and I couldn't relate at all. I was like, and those that are laughing, she is extreme, holy, you know, and it's every 5 seconds she's doing something in the Spirit and whatever. But that is who she is. And yes, I had to go last night. I had to meet with God, and God said, Lauren, your authenticity is essential. The way you preach is you tell stories of your life. You speak what God has been speaking to you about. I mean, Henny invited me to start sharing the sermon with him. I was like, oh my word, my doctrine, you know. And Stefan just challenged me, and he was like, receive from him, Lauren. You will never become a Henny. I'm not naturally a teacher. I'm a lot more prophetic. But there are certain principles, and it's that authenticity, and it's amazing to receive Heidi in the fullness of who she was last night. Because that is the way God has created her. But what she did write in the book that I could really relate to, and I'm going to share with you, she said, I have a confession to make. I have no idea how to prepare for conferences and meetings. And I want to add there, and every person that comes in front of me, I simply live in communion with God, where fruitfulness can flow. Preparing my life to overflow is the only way I know how to prepare. That's all of us. In a secret place, spending time with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to come fill us, our life overflows with the presence of God. And that's the encounter that people get to. And I know some of you, when I say miracles and giving of yourself, you know, you really freak out because you're like, I don't want to be that gospel freaky person. And sometimes God will lay that on your heart to be the gospel freaky person. But it's, for me, I know that in a certain way, God wants to keep me socially acceptable because of the people that I'm going to minister. That doesn't mean that I don't do whack out things. You know, this morning with intercession, I felt God saying we need to walk around the room 7 times. I mean, these people are like, you're coming again? What? Yeah? I mean, poor Almery had sweeped and mopped that floor about 7 times. And then I felt God saying, let's lay on hands on the building and scream the name of Jesus. I mean, I had 2 people standing there, and I'm going, Jesus! But that's what God told me to do. I don't know what the huge spiritual implication of that is. But do you understand? It's that thing of allowing our lives to overflow, whatever that means. And lastly, and this is the last point, what we have to give is we have the gospel. Acts 4 verse 4, after this miracle has taken place with Peter, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. What is the point of a miracle if people can't meet Jesus? It's a nice feeling that we have when we give of ourselves, but we don't actually tell people where the source is from. Jesus has given us everything. He's given us everything. He's a treasure that we found. I don't want to get emotional because I know some guy shut it off, so I'm just going to, I'm not going to harden my heart, but it's this treasure. It's Jesus. We have been delivered and set free and given an abundance of endless resources. And he's inviting us to go and be Jesus.